Sort of a weird episode that's completely non-relevant to the Iowa Times right now. Most of you are probably expecting thoughts on this episode about the national championship game that the Iowa Hawkeyes just played in last night, but I don't even know the result of that game because I'm recording this on Saturday. We recorded this podcast on last Wednesday, and it has nothing to do with Iowa sports, but it's pretty damn fun. So let's have a day. Let's go.
And we're back, Friendship Podcast, aka Caitlin Clark Podcast, and that's really all I got to say. Kluver, what's up?
Stash looks good, man.
Thank you.
Does look good.
It's powerful, right?
Did you get a cut too on the side?
No, I tried to get a cut, but my barber's dog had to be put down the day of my my haircut, so we went ahead and canceled that.
That's tough.
Is there anything sadder?
No.
Putting down an animal's tough, man.
It's tough.
That's tough. That's a tough one. Especially one that you grew up with, you know.
And now everybody listening just thought about the dog that they've put down, and now everybody wants to put a gun to their head.
We may need to cut this.
Or cat, dude. I went up and visited my cat on the day that it was being put down. The one that we got when I was 12 years old, 10 years old, and I held it together until, you know, my aunt and my mom took it to the vet. And then on the ride home, I was so sad and crying that Lauren, who hates cats, was also crying. It was that sad. So.
Welcome back to the Sadcast.
Kev, you look old right now with the way your hair is.
Yeah, I was just wearing a hat, so I got a little hat hair going on right now.
How's the life of Kevin Ward these days?
You know, last couple of days have been a little rough. I've got a little something going on, so a little under the weather right now. But other than that, things are good, man.
How do you get? You know what it is? Is you work too much? Because you're a healthy guy, otherwise.
Yeah, you know, being a healthy person doesn't. You never leave your house, so that's why you never get sick. But you know, I interact with a lot of people around the eastern side of Iowa. So yeah, I got to shake a lot of hands.
I suppose you do.
Plus, I got a lot of little nieces and nephews. Them fuckers are always sick. So
I know that's the issue that I'm about to run into. Is I've always had
once you send that baby off to daycare, you're fucked.
I've always had just a Loctite immune system, but you can't escape what they bring home from daycare.
Yeah, you're fucked, man.
It's impossible.
Yeah,
I mean,
I've had a Loctite immune system too, but the whatever they've been throwing around here in Arizona this year has been wicked.
Yeah.
Now I will say, like, I'll get sick, you know, I feel like once every 3 months or so, but it's never really bad, you know. Like it's usually like a 3 to 4 day thing for me, like. So, like Alyssa, when she gets sick, it's like a 2 week deal for her.
Oh, the last time I got sick was when I had COVID in the fall of 21. And the last time before that was like a bad 2 day flu during this like winter of 2020, or I guess 2019. And before that, it was like probably freshman year when Drake and I had our air conditioning on 60 degrees.
So you never get a cold?
Never, ever. Dude, like I'm talking like if I get a headache, I'm like, I'm shell shocked. I'm like, where did this come from? This is bullshit. Which makes me, because I have such little, I deal with it so not often, infrequently, that when I do experience like a little something, I'm a total pussy. I'm just like, this is ass. But it is what it is.
Sleeping's the worst part.
Yeah. You still swimming?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
What's the goal there with the swimming?
We're thinking about doing a triathlon this year.
Like a full-on try? Oh,
yeah. Yeah, Olympic triathlon, yeah.
Full distance try is
a 1.5K swim, a 40-kilometer bike, and a 10K run.
Oh, okay. That's what it is. So an Ironman is the 2 mile.
Ironman is like a whole day ordeal.
It's like 12.
I think it's like 2.5 swim. It's like 120 bike, and then a finish with a marathon.
Dude, I have to do it someday, but I gotta put in the work on the swimming.
I mean, theoretically, it's all about your heart rate. If you can keep it in zone two, you can theoretically go forever. As long as you get the calories in.
Yeah. I was gonna say, as long as you're not trying to do it non-nutritioned, just no snacks all day.
Theoretically, as long as you're refueling, you can. It's like those planes that refuel in midair.
Yeah.
Theoretically, could go forever, right?
Another bit, and part of that heart rate is heat management. That's huge on tries and
sure, yeah.
Especially Ironmans. When you're going all day and your body is, you don't give it a break to come down off of exertion, it's like managing the overheating. So many people have like heat strokes and heat injuries when they try and do those races. That's fucking tough. I think in our Discord, I think old Jason Mason, Hype Kid's dad, I think he's said he's ran a couple hundred milers, oof, which is a very similar thing. Dude,
I'd much rather do an Ironman than run 100 miles.
Way would rather do an Ironman, right? Because at least that's the swim is completely non-contact, and then at least the bike, you're not pounding your knees.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, also it's nice. Like the swim is like you're using like different muscle systems than like yeah. you know. Then the bike, you're going to be using a whole lot of glutes, and then the run, you're probably using a lot more hamstring and abs and all that fun stuff.
Tell me a 100-mile race isn't about a 20-hour day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think like 24 hours is a typical, like for, I think in Goggins' book, when he talked about the first time he did one, it took him like almost 24 hours.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I think, I think the time cap, I think you're right, Kev. I don't know if it was Goggins or somebody else, but I think like the time cap on most 100-mile races, oh my God, 14.5 hours world record? Or that's a good 100-mile time.
The world record is
11:04.
Think about that.
Somebody do the math.
That is basically exactly 9 miles an hour.
Oh my God.
That's 9 miles an hour. Yeah.
That's absurd. I can't run 9 miles an hour for 1 hour.
That's what's like a 7 minute pace, right?
6.5 minute pace for 100 miles.
That's asinine. That is absolutely asinine.
That doesn't even make sense to me. Goggins in San Diego did a 24-hour ultramarathon. He did 101 miles in 1850, so 19 hours.
Yeah, I'm thinking about the first one he did when he had to qualify for the extreme ones. Where
on no training?
On no training, and he said he did like max out squats the day before.
And he's
getting absolutely dusted by some old Asian lady.
And at mile 71, he shit himself.
And then he just kept going.
Can you imagine having to run a marathon with shit in your pants?
After you just run three?
I was... Dude, sometimes it's funny because I was just thinking about this because my daughter... will, you know, baby girl, she'll, after a while, they don't want to sit in a dirty diaper, right? Like there's a few reasons why kids cry, or at least kids her age. And it's, she's tired, she's hungry, or she needs a diaper change. And I thought to myself, oh yeah, that makes sense, right? Because if I shit my pants, I really wouldn't want to sit in it either, huh? And to think that he shit his pants and was in not only that, that's just like kind of a disgusting, annoying part. If you read the Goggins book, he was in complete shutdown. Like his muscles were all cramping. He had lost all of his toenails on both feet. I think he was chafing to the point where he was bleeding as well. And he had to get up and run 29 miles. Like, hey, don't do that, right? But he did. I think one of the most impressive things I've ever heard is that he did, I could be misquoting this, but I believe he did seven or eight 100 mile races in back to back to back to back to back to back weekends.
Now, you ever watch Iron Cowboy?
Is that the guy who did a marathon every day for?
He did an Ironman 50 days straight in 50 different states.
Oh no. He did the 12.
He did an Ironman in Hawaii, then went to Alaska, did an Ironman, went to like Washington, did an Ironman.
Dude, that's absurd.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an actual wild documentary. It's on Netflix. Go watch.
I'm going to have to watch that one. Grant has it pulled up on the side there. What's the documentary called? Is it just called Iron Cowboy?
Iron Cowboy, yeah. The guy's a little bit of a weirdo, but, you know, people who do that are obviously a little off-center.
Yeah.
He's a little bit more than a little bit of a weirdo.
He's a lunatic. He has more screws loose than Drake.
Way more, because I would never do that.
I would love to Kev, do you think you could this gets my competitive, like, see how tough I am juices flowing. Do you think with no time cap, right, you can go as slow as you need to go? Do you think how fast do you think you can complete an Ironman right now? I DQ in the swim because I would have to have a boat to grab onto because I can't swim 2.4 miles.
Again, swimming is just like the other things. If you can learn the technique to just go at a certain pace, you can go for forever.
Right.
And
I would need to do that first.
Yeah, I think it depends on the course. Is it a flat course? Is it a hilly course?
It's the flattest course you could race. There's no other than the brevity of just the distances. It is as easy as it could be. It's a cool 55 degrees.
All right.
I ran a marathon.
I think I could do the swim in 2 hours.
Cause you're swimming a mile right now in what, like 35 minutes?
Under 30 minutes typically.
Okay. Wow. Yeah, so, you know, and you wouldn't be obviously going for your PR 2.4.
No, just, I think it's like 2.5 miles. So I think 2 hours is conservative estimate.
Yeah, yeah.
The bike, call it 120 miles at 15 miles an hour would be conservative, I'd say. So that's 10 hours right there.
When I do an hour on the Peloton, it could be completely off. I have no idea if there's any correlation to the road. But I can get 20 miles in an hour if I'm going.
Like 20 miles an hour is like, I think, typical, but you're thinking about for right. 10 hours now, right? So I'm
right,
going 15 miles an hour, call that 10 hours and change.
No, that would be, it'd be like in between 8 and 9 hours.
Oh, yeah, sorry. And then the marathon's going to take me at least 4.
Probably it's going to be 4. It's going to be 4 at that point. Yeah. I ran one semi conditioned and it took me just over 4. I'm not a great runner by any means, but
I mean, so we're talking about 19, 20 hours there, right? What would we say? 2 plus 9 plus 4.
Well, with the fatigue though, right now, like untrained,
I would have to set my 15 goal hours. How many hours, Kevin? 15?
What we did, 2 plus 9 plus 5 is 16.
Yeah.
15, 16 hours. If you can do that, if you can hold that pace.
Then I would have to set my goal at breaking 24 hours.
I was going
to
say, give me a 24 hour cycle and I'll make a run at it. Although, again, I'm going to have to train to swim that long just to get out of the water. But
I think people who train for them, like, you know, aren't by any means like qualifying for like nationals or anything like that. I think people who are training for them are typically doing them in like 12 to 13 hours.
I was going
to
say 12.
You want to pull up like an average?
I think sub 12 is like a big goal for people who get into them competitively. Like that's like the first big goal is sub 12. But I know like the best in the world are going like 8 or something like that. The average Ironman is 12:49. Oh, yeah. That's actually not bad. The women is about 13:35. The swim portion is 10%, bike is 50%, and the run is 38%.
Can you pull up the actual distances? Because I'm pretty sure it's 2.5 miles on the swim.
So
120 bike marathon finish.
If God, ooh, dude, sitting on a bike.
I mean, you know, I'm going to do this triathlon this summer, and then I'm just going to be like, oh, fuck it. I got to do an Ironman.
So this is where I was going with this. It's like the way that you and Drake and I operate is, well, if you're going to do something.
Don't lump me into this. I'm not running no goddamn Ironman.
You're right. But you still, in what you're interested in, take it to the extreme, though. That's what I'm saying. It's like you didn't just join jiu-jitsu to be just a white belt in the corner, you know, like you didn't join jiu-jitsu to have 6 weeks worth of like self-defense. You joined with the intent and open-mindedness to, hey, maybe I'll fucking fight in the cage someday, you know.
Ain't no maybes, playboy.
Well, you've been talking for a while now, and I,
you know, you got to train before you can fight, dude. I'm not gonna walk in there without knowing I'm gonna win.
I know. What else do you got to do? You got to work on your striking and all that.
Not be going on vacation for a month.
Yeah, that would help. That would help. Kevin doesn't even know about. I mean, he does know about that, but Drake's leaving us. We're alone for a month here, starting after this podcast.
You going on your little van vacation?
Sure am.
I mean, I guess what? Yeah, damn. Where are we going?
He only knows the first place.
It's who is setting the agenda on this vacation?
There is no agenda.
Who is deciding where you will go next? You or Kaylee?
The conversation that happens each morning.
How often are you going to go to a new place?
Are you going to be living out of the van, or are you going to be staying at a hotel?
Living out of the van.
Okay.
What's the food situation going to look like? Your bowels are going to fuck.
Situation going to look like, because like you just like look like the type of person that smells. I know you smell all right. Like,
no, I don't really smell that good, to be honest.
He said you just look like the kind of person who smells.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, dude. If Drake, if you had if you put the right clothes on, no one would say a peep about you asking for change on the corner. Right, like you do look like that kind of guy. But you're
saying you should do that one day.
You could maybe, yeah, you could maybe make a few bucks. But is there a shower in the van?
There is a water tank and an outdoor shower.
Okay,
okay. So you have some bathing access.
Right. Oh, that concerned me for a second.
Do we ever see Drake Kulik again after this vacation?
And that's what I posed that question yesterday on DHT. And I said, you know what? You know, we kind of said goodbye to him on DHT. We'll say,
is this the last time we're going to see you? When are you leaving?
Friday.
Leaving Friday morning.
I'm guessing, are you leaving the phone at home?
No, I'll have my phone on me.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you're like going off the grid.
I got to be able to watch
behind. I was going to be like, oh, this is going to be the last time I'm going to see Drake like ever.
I got to be able to get to places via GPS, and right. I have to be able to watch UFC, you know, on Saturday nights.
They had these things called maps, you know, and 20 years ago, people got places just fine.
You ever think about that?
Guess
though?
What? I have fucking Siri who will talk to me and tell me where to go. I ain't worried about the maps.
Hey, it's Peter Harmon, the food guru, here to talk about Gray's Gourmet To Go. At Gray's Gourmet To Go, we are madly and passionately in love with three things: chicken lips, pizza, and great food to go. Chicken lips are the most beloved food in Iowa City. And if you don't know what a chicken lip is, you're really missing out. Our second passion is pizza. We're hell-bent on making great pizza. Yeah, yeah, you can get cheap pizza anywhere. But if you're a real pizza aficionado, you gotta try our meatball pizza. It's made with a natural starter. And like sourdough bread, it's soft and crispy and light as air. And the third thing that we're wildly and passionately in love with is great food to go. We believe you want to feed your family something great at home, but you're too busy with life to stop and cook. That's why we built Gray's Gourmet to Go. So the next time you need to feed the gang and you don't feel like cooking, just come to graysgourmettogo.com.
Quick break to give some love to one of our biggest partners right now. That's right. You guessed it. Pork. Bacon, ground pork, ham, pork roast, pork belly, ribs, pork loin, pork shoulder, and pork sausage. You name it. You're probably hungry now. Nutritionally speaking, animal proteins are top of the line. They are nutrient dense and satiating, helping to promote less overconsumption of calories and a better body composition. Pig farmers today are raising more pork using less land, water, and energy than ever before. And the manure from the pigs is then used to fertilize next year's corn crop, all in an effort to continue to try and become more efficient. We've mentioned multiple times how before we ever came into this partnership, my personal favorite stop at the state fair every year was for a pork burger at the pork producer's building. And every home game against Minnesota, Kevin and his family bust out the best pork chops available. The walk-ons and pork are a match made in heaven. Put some pork on your plate today. When I think back about before we had the internet and phones, I think maps is honestly one of the more impressive thing. I would be fucked. Like if I had to go somewhere, like I could obviously follow a map from a city to a city. And I guess you just have to have all the maps that are relevant to where you're going, because then you have to open up the city map. Right. And then you have like,
I remember my parents used to have this giant thing.
Yeah.
It was just like an atlas of maps, of state maps. Like it had all the highways, yep. And then like the major metropolitan areas had like bigger detailed maps as well. Yeah,
I remember way back.
Then like early 2000s, then you could start like printing off the maps.
Oh, MapQuest, baby, MapQuest. Yeah, exactly.
So you could have like printed off directions, and then
did you ever play in like an AU baseball tournament, and like you know the parents all meet at the Casey's before heading out of town. And like one parent was in charge of map questing and like handed out a couple to the other parents before.
My father had a manila envelope everywhere he went of map quest shit. He knew every cross street. He had it zoomed into people's fucking front yards.
It's like, I'm coming to your doorstep, bitch. Grant, you have no idea what we're talking about. This is before your time, buddy. Come on in here.
Grant, what year were you born?
2002.
You were born in 2002. Oh, my God.
What?
Yeah. That's not
real. You don't even know what the 90s are.
You didn't see 9/11?
I was not alive. No.
That's what he thought about.
Not alive.
That was the best TV show there was.
The United States planned a terrorist attack on itself. It was insane.
We just got shadow banned on all podcast platforms. Grant, that's wild.
I know I'm familiar with obviously maps and MapQuest, but I'm sure MapQuest was being used while I was around at some point.
Yeah,
but by the time you were like a sentient being, it was probably the iPhone had come around.
I was just going to say the iPhone was a thing by the time Grant has memories, basically.
Calling him a sentient being.
I do remember
a way to say you grew up.
No. Pre-4-year-olds are not sentient beings. They are not aware of their existence.
That's facts. That's facts.
That stuff.
What were you going to say, Grant? There, you were.
I was saying that I don't remember what year it came out, but like I remember my mom coming home with the first iPhone 3G, and I
2006, I believe, or 7. 2006.
Yeah, I do remember that moment because it was like the most miraculous thing I'd ever seen.
Before that, Grant, I don't know if you know what a BlackBerry was.
Oh, I would at my tennis lesson, I would always ask my dad if I could play Brick Breaker on his BlackBerry, and it would always just make him mad because I think he was trying to work and get stuff done.
He was absolutely.
I wanted to play Brick Breaker.
Well, Brick Breaker is a great game.
Brick Breaker is great. I played that many a time on some long road trips to some baseball games.
Yeah, yeah. If you had a BlackBerry, you were swinging meat. That's what it was.
I kind of want BlackBerry was huge and like overnight was just obsoleted by iPhone.
I think it's still one of like the considered one of the craziest like downfalls. Like once iPhone came.
You remember
like,
the BlackBerry? Yeah. Go ahead, Kev.
Yeah, the iPhone like obsoleted like so many like Garmin GPS.
Out. Useless.
Yeah.
You know who still uses a Garmin GPS?
If you say you, I'm gonna slap you.
Teresa Kulik.
That doesn't surprise me.
Why? She's still rocking a Garmin, dude.
Why?
She says, I like my Garmin better.
That's wild. I don't know. I don't even know if my. So, Drake, you know, my grandparents live out there in Phoenix, right? Last year when we were out there. All right. Last year? Yeah. Last year when we were out there, a year ago. They like the restaurant that is attached to like some zoo that sits out. It might be the Phoenix Zoo. I don't even know what zoo it's called, but they like some restaurant and it's out in the desert, right? Like it's just out there, bro. To get there, they used AAA. What's it called? AAA or OnStar. They used OnStar to get there. They had two 27-year-olds with iPhones in the back seat. And Jerry and Faylene called OnStar for directions and were yelling at the lady that she was giving them the wrong streets.
I do remember OnStar now, yeah.
Lauren and I are in the back seat of their van going, we could just Google it, right? Like, we know where we're going. But we kind of let it happen because it's your grandparent. Some of the shit that, and I know we're going to get, you know, we're going to get laughed at too, right? Like, I don't know. We'll get laughed at for some of the shit that we grew up with when we're 50, but man, it's funny. Like the young to old disconnect is always some of the funniest shit there is.
Grant, do you know what a VHS is? And if so, do you think you could operate one?
I could operate one 100%.
Okay.
Yeah. No, yeah. I was
big, having to rewind.
Did you ever see a landline?
I think my parents still have a landline.
Wow.
They're not giving up. Cause it's a part of like the Xfinity deal. I think still is you just get one.
Yeah. I think they actually incentivize it by making that the one with a landline cheaper.
Yeah. I think like I've told my mom always, she's always like, oh, Grant, go see who's on the phone or when I'm home. And I'm like, if they're calling our landline, they don't know us. Like they'd call you on your cell phone.
Like, you absolutely know it's a scam call.
Yeah, there's no reason. It's someone asking who you're voting for. It's a scammer.
Grant, you have your landline in 2002, but you're a smart kid.
He is a smart kid.
Does your landline, is it a phone connected to a cord or can you walk around with it?
No, you can walk around with it.
Okay.
So, it's not that crazy. Yeah, right? There's no dial.
Even so, man, back in the day, you were stuck within a 2-foot radius of that phone.
If you had a decent cord on there, you could stretch that bitch.
Dude, check this out. My Aunt Kathy, who may be listening to this podcast right now, shout out Aunt Kathy, on their wall, they had a little Rota dial phone with about a 400 footer on it. If you wanted to take that cocksucker downstairs and talk on the phone while you were doing laundry, it would stretch.
You could get the mail.
If you wanted to take that sumbitch out back and play with the dog while you talk to your sister, you could do it.
You could go to the neighbors and hang out in their kitchen, dude, and talk on your landline.
I mean, you had to be in front of the phone to do it. You had to stick your finger in it and all the way around. But damn, once you dialed it, you could go across the street.
Dude, that brings up some good memories, man, because I can remember my mom coming out of the because it was always in the kitchen, man. It was in the and then it comes out of the kitchen. She walked down the hall and you got the cord in your hand trying to get it over. Fucking kid walks by, you gotta pick it up. Kid goes underneath the cord. It's like, what, dude? That brings up some memories, man.
Bro, remember, like, there was no caller ID. You had no idea who was calling you.
Could have been a terrorist.
You had to answer the phone.
Yeah.
And if you were home alone and you didn't answer the phone, What the hell are you doing? Why didn't you
answer the other thing about this phone? It did not have a voicemail.
None. You had to write it down.
Dude, if somebody decided to just let the phone ring, it would have rang off the wall.
Somebody answered the fucking phone. And then it's like, hey, if somebody calls, there's all, because we had a fucking junk drawer right underneath the phone, and there was a sticky notepad in there. Mm-hmm. And if someone calls and they got information, you better write that shit down, or Todd was going to be pissed, dude. Oh.
How about the 40-inch TVs that were just as thick?
I was going to say.
And they were as the size of the screen.
They were 40 like, by 40 by 40.
They were a freaking cube, man.
Here is a story for y'all.
And they cost a freaking mortgage payment back then, too.
Dude, they were so expensive.
Yeah.
I have a story. Drake, you go first.
Boys. So back when, back in high school, when we were really gaming, back when it was Modern Warfare 2 territory.
I thought you were about to say back when we were really gay, which was.
I used to carry around my Xbox, obviously.
Yeah.
But because I was so comfortable playing on my massive TV that you guys talk about now, I used to haul that around with me to my friend's house. I had to fucking go to war to get my TV anywhere I wanted to go, right? So now listen, I put the TV in just a little too far, and I had a topper on top of my truck.
Oh, no.
It pinned one of the latches. The topper would no longer open. I could not get my TV out of the back of my truck, nor could I get the bed of my fucking pickup truck open because it was just stone stuck in there. So,
took the TV with you?
Took it with me everywhere I went.
Yeah, dude, because
that's another freaking workout, dude.
Drake was fucking worried that his KD was not going to hold up if he wasn't on his TV.
Dude, I listen, man, I couldn't deal with screen lag. I had to fry.
So, my dad, I don't know how it couldn't have been as big as the one that I'm talking about because you just wouldn't have been able to carry it. But my dad, dude, in the
probably right, but dude, let me tell you how bad I struggled.
So I'm gonna guess that it was what was it? It was maybe a 60-inch TV.
Oh my god,
it was
that's like impossible to carry by yourself.
It's like a 100-pound TV.
Fucking. This thing was massive, and it sat in our basement. It took up half of our basement. It sat on this entertainment system, and it was just fucking huge, dude. It was like looking down the coast of the ocean, and it was thick, right? I mean, the fucking entertainment systems had to be pulled out from the wall because you can't – I don't know what they were fitting in the back of those TVs. Or what the circuit board, whoever came up with that and made flat screens, rich. They are good forever and their family's good forever. Anyway, it's finally time to get like a new TV or whatever. And something happens. My parents go to Ames because Marshalltown didn't have a Best Buy. So my parents go to Ames one day, just those two. And they like there was some deal where if you traded in your TV, you got the value of what you paid for it, right? I don't know what was going on. I just remember this as the best.
I just know that they made money on this TV.
Dude, it was the best day of me and my brother's life. It's 2:30 in the afternoon. I was old enough to drive, so I had to have been at least a sophomore. I get a call from my mom. And she's just as confused as I am right now. She's like, Tyler, I don't know what happened, but we're at Best Buy here in Ames, and we just traded in the TV from the basement, and now we have $1,600 worth of Best Buy credit. And dude, for some reason, and Todd and Shelly, if you're listening, what are you doing? But my mom goes, there's nothing that your dad and I could buy for that much money in this store. You need to get your brothers, get in the car,
drive to Ames so that you guys can pick out some video games and some stuff for you guys to buy. And I was like, boys, get in the fucking car. We're out of this bitch. We drove so fast to Ames. I think each of us got like two Xbox games. We might have got a new console. My dad got it.
This would have been like what, $2012 too, or $2011?
And it went far, dude. We got a new TV out of the deal. Plus,
dude, $1,600.
It might have been.
Bro, TVs back in the early 2000s, 90s were stupid expensive.
And this was I'm telling you, it was easily over 50 inches. I think it was probably 60. And I don't know why they got the money back for it, but we went and had – it was like at the end of what was the fuck – you get the shopping spree and you get 3 minutes to throw everything. It was just like that. It felt like – it was one of the greatest – I'll never forget it. It was so fucking awesome, dude.
What was the feeling like inside as you and your brothers were scrambling around the house to get to the car?
Sprinting, dude. We're running. Our parents are in Ames, and the three of us are just like throwing on shoes and shorts. Like, oh my fuck, dude, we get video. You gotta understand, right?
There's three of y'all.
Three of us, and we grew up in Marshalltown, right? We might have had six video games total at the time. And my mom calls me and tells me that we got over a G at Best Buy.
A G bar.
We're going off, boys. Oh, dude, it was one of the greatest, all because of those goddamn TVs and oh, unbelievable. My dad also funny, not
boys. Really, you traded in one TV, got a better TV, an Xbox, 12 games,
some Google TV thing that was like the original Google TV that my dad never used. It was $270. He got scammed by the salesman at Best Buy because they're like, yeah, man, it's great. Like, we used, I think, all the money that they got back.
I mean, what else are you going to do with it, right?
Save it. Save it for when you need a new I mean, Best Buy has appliances. They have a vacuum. I don't know. Save it for some shit that isn't $700 worth of video games.
All right. But would 16-year-old Tyler, is that what he wanted to do, is save it? No, 16-year-old
no,
Tyler.
No, I wanted to spend all $1,400 of it on video games. But... But my parents were running the house. They had the call. They could have just never called us, and it just would have been a normal day. We wouldn't have even known. But hey, shout out to Shelly and Todd for letting the boys just run wild with.
And that's going to be one of your best memories from high school, right?
It's going to be one of the best. It's probably, you know, I married Lauren. Kinley was born, and then the day we got $1,000 at Best Buy. Oh fuck. Oh, that's a lot of memories, boys. Oh, man. I would love to see man, Grant probably.
Well, Grant, basically, your childhood sucked, man. You got all this technology around you, so
you don't even know. You've never even played.
Not for you, man.
What was the first – Grant, here's a question. What was your first gaming console?
360. Or no, a Wii. Sorry, a Wii.
Okay, you had a Wii. And then a 360 between Xbox and PlayStation was your first console.
Yeah, I think I went Wii, Wii 360, and then I use a PlayStation now.
Okay. Well, around here, we played PlayStation 1.
Never had a PlayStation 1. We were a Super Nintendo, and it was awesome. Then we got a PlayStation 2.
Oh, fuck. If you're really OG.
Honestly, dude, I would love to get a Super Nintendo again because those had some of the most fun games ever.
Some Mario, of the best games.
Kong.
Dude, did you ever play Sega?
Oh yeah. But a few of the kids in the neighborhood had a Sega for sure.
My mom had like a Sega. And we played, I'm pretty sure we played what did we play on that bitch? What was that little guy's name? The blue guy. Sonic
the Hedgehog.
Dude. You play a little Sonic on the Sega, dude. And if you're OG, a GameCube was huge. There's a lot of people who had a GameCube, and that
never had a GameCube, but yeah,
I never did either. I just remember like the original games on the amount of times you had to blow dust out of those machines, or like shake them, or like tilt them at an angle so that the disc spun right in there. Unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
really made for some memories, though. It's funny because people are the people who listen to this podcast, they are even the average person is more gapped away from us three than we are to Grant. So they're sitting here as we're shitting on Grant for being born in 2002, and they're like, we were born in the 70s.
I played my my uncle, my mom's brother. I played his Atari or his Pong one time.
Mm.
As one of the two. I forget which one. But like when I was little, like, so it was like late 90s, but he still had like an Atari or a Pong, and we were playing it one time, I remember.
Tell me you guys played NBA Street.
Oh, yeah. NBA Jam.
Yeah. NFL Street. Yeah.
Dude. Such good game. Did you play NFL Street?
Dude, do we look like a couple of fucking bozos to you?
I'm telling you,
though. Yeah. MLB Slugfest, where you could
catch
like
fire, catch fire, steroids,
you could beat players. The moon. Yeah,
I'll be honest. Speaking like,
you could charge the mound and beat the shit out.
Yes,
and it would affect their stats. Like you were a 10 out of 10 pitch speed, and then you charge the mound, and now they can only throw like 80 miles an hour.
No, we're what gonna... about blitz the league? Yeah, you used to go into slow motion and just boom, folks. The injuries, ooh,
dude. Some of the best games.
Did you guys ever just go outside and play with a stick? Fuck yeah.
We rode our bikes. I rode my bike around the
Grant, did you ever play with a stick outside?
Grant, you ever ride a bike, dude? Probably not. I mean, did you answer the question?
Oh, I thought you were. I thought you were joking around. Yes, I've ridden a bike before.
Okay.
First question though: did you ever play with a stick?
Did I ever just play with just a stick?
Did you have a park near your house where you collected sticks with the neighborhood kids to make a fort?
Yes. Okay. Was I ever out there just with a stick in my mouth like a golden retriever? No.
Not in your mouth. You pretend it's a sword or a lightsaber, and you go off on a.
Oh yeah, like a little like lightsaber fight with sticks. Yeah.
Yeah. Did you ever just dig a hole for the fun of it?
Digging a hole, dude.
It sounds like you grew up with golden retrievers. If you're on sticks and now digging holes.
Well, Kevin did grow up with golden retrievers.
I have been called a golden retriever myself, you know.
But digging holes, yes. At school, though, mainly it would be like they have that on the playground. I don't know why it's like all like rock, or like little like pebbles and stuff. And there would be. Like we're just, you know, just second grade guys just want to dig a hole. So we just like dig a hole as deep as you can at school.
I remember with a shovel.
A shovel?
Yeah. You just take a shovel and you just go out and dig a hole outside.
If there was a shovel involved, it was like someone told me to go do it. And it was
playgrounds though. Do you guys remember those little toys? It was like the toy excavators.
Oh yeah.
Those were like always my favorite. The playground had one of those. As me as a 5-year-old was like, oh my God.
I can scoop some sand.
One of my high school buddies got too high when he was about 17 and tweaked out, started running into the middle of the field, dropped on his hands and knees and started digging. Just started digging a hole, tweaked out.
You got that high, dude? Jesus Christ. So my dad, you guys may not even know this. Todd, teacher, in the summer, landscape extraordinaire. So
was Leo Cooley.
So he had a hole. Usually it was laying in the bed of his truck, but when he would clean it out, they would sit in the corner of our garage. He had an armory of shovels, Kevin. An armory. He had the flathead shovel.
Gotta have a flathead shovel.
Oh, dude, he had
a spade.
He had the spades. He had it all. And aside from the numerous times that my brothers and I almost got seriously injured with all of that, dude, we dug some fucking holes now. I mean, the neighborhood kids of the Greenfield neighborhood, which was sat right across from the nicest trailer park in town, we made a
no there was bragging a, or anything.
Dude, I mean, that was a nice Sunset Village trailer park in Marshalltown that has some quality people. there was a little crick, and I know you guys don't like how I say the word crick, but it at least it isn't wolves, right? And this crick ran through the park, and there was a perfect little tree. We made a fort, a tree house, all by ourselves. It was so sick, dude. I want to be 12 again after this podcast. I just want to be 12 years old.
12 was a great year.
It's a good year. Sixth grade.
Fifth and sixth grade.
Yeah.
I'd rather go back to 16.
Sophomore year? That wasn't a great year for me.
16, 17. That age.
Nah, dude. Man. I feel like 9 to 12 is like the best stretch of your life, man.
It's a good stretch.
Oh, dude, life was so easy when I was 17. It's easy now, but it was so easy when I was 17.
Fuck.
Was it harder when you were 10?
Yes, because like of the anxieties of being a kid and shit.
Like, you had more anxiety as a 10-year-old? No, Kevin.
Way more.
We're learning. Really? We're learning a lot about Drake here, though, right? This checks out.
Really, man. I feel like pre-adolescence, man, you got no worries in the entire world. At least that's how it was for me, man.
I was worried about everything, dog.
Kev.
Fucking my house burned down and shit. You always got to worry if I fucking was going to have a house the next day.
I guess. My house didn't burn down, but yeah, what? Man. Before I started growing hairs in other places, man, I didn't have a care in the world.
Do you remember the first kid who got armpit hair in your grade? I do. His name is David Butler. He turned out to be the littlest dude in our grade. Talk about puberty hitting early and then, bro.
Oh, yeah, man. Well, we learned it. We took a class about this, human growth and motor development.
Yeah.
Not a fun class.
A fun class, but we learned is the reason that kids who mature early end up being the smallest is because they don't have the extra years of growing as a child.
Right.
Yep. They hit adolescence, they finish adolescence, and then they're done.
You want to get as much out of your adolescence, that pre-squeeze, as you can. And then
I didn't hit my growth spurt until high school.
Right, whereas I was finishing mine freshman year. Which was tough. And I am the same size now, though I look a lot better. I'm the same size now as I was as a high school freshman.
I grew, I think, half a foot in high school.
And I would say the majority of kids do. I have a couple. There's a kid who was in my youngest brother Zach's grade who was, I mean, goddamn, it felt like he was I don't know what the politically correct term is, but a small person. It felt like he was a small person for a long time. All of a sudden, he hits his growth spurt like junior year into like early college years. He pitches for Louisville now. He's a stud. But for a long time, the kid was like 62 pounds in like eighth grade. And I was like,
all right. So are you saying, should we be putting our kids on puberty blockers?
Okay.
Two more years of childhood growth and then let them develop, hit puberty. And then now you've just got 6'8" kids.
Bit of a hot topic.
TRT.
You are going to get free college. Because of athletic scholarship.
Well, we'll see. Now, if we start with the exogenous substances, I do believe that that has some effect on the natural production of the sex hormones.
So then after that, we just pump them with extra sex hormones. And then
that is generally what happens with guys who blast gear. And then they get into a vicious cycle where at some point you got to come off of it.
And we just don't come off of it.
Right, which is also what they do. And then you die at 50. Worth it?
Life goes downhill after that anyway, right?
Worth it, dude. If you get to be Thor from 10 to 40, of course it's worth it.
Drake, are we going to see are we going to celebrate a Drake's 51st birthday party?
Have to. Yeah.
I'll let you know when I'm 51.
We might not see him until then.
Yeah, this vacation might last
20 years.
Kevin, you've always talked about how Drake is going to, at some point, he's going to fall off the grid, and we may just never see him again.
You know, I'm going to set the you know how we have the over-under on Drake's time of death, right?
Of course, yeah.
If we don't hear from Drake in the course of, like, if it's, like, coming up to that line, let's call it, I think lines moved up in the last.
I do. I believe it has as well.
I think Drake sees his 40s now, right?
I think the original line was 40 or 45. Yeah.
No, it wasn't. 45. Dude, but there were fucking people telling me I wouldn't see 25.
Well,
there was a time, Drake.
It was a mirror.
Yeah. call it 45. Say Drake goes on one of these sabbaticals at 44 and we don't hear from him for 3 years. I'm going to say the unders win.
I would agree with that.
Unless he reappears.
Right. Or at least you have to the bets are off. You have to readjust the line at that point. Now, here's another question, Kev. If he goes off and he starts having a gap year, right? He just goes on one of these gap years where he's going to travel to Europe, except for...
I don't think we'll ever see Drake in Europe. Drake?
Europe fucking stinks, bro. I got mono, pneumonia, and swine flu in Europe.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that you got super sick on a swim trip when you were
10 years. Stupid sick.
And you're not huge on long flights, right?
No. Hate long flights. Hate Wiener Schnitzel. European stink.
Hate people driving on the left side of the road.
Shit can get fucked for all I care. USA. USA. Fuck.
Drake's going to stay in the Western Hemisphere. I could see Drake popping up, like doing a little road trip down to like Guatemala.
I was just going to say, Drake would be a big South America guy.
He's a Central American dude for sure.
Yeah. Panama?
White boy Drake after white boy Rick. That's
and heroin. Just send me to the coke and the heroin.
Dude, we lose Drake for like 7 years. All of a sudden he pops up. He's like, hey, boys. And then we like go back to his house or we visit him in Mexico. He's like, but you guys have to act different around me because I'm the head of the cartel down here now. Like the last 4 years, I've been working my way up and I actually say how shit goes down here now. So
no, Drake sticks around for another 60 years. And then you ever see the movie, The Mule with,
Yeah.
What's that actor's name?
Gran Torino,
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah. Shout out to Grant for coming in with the facts, by the way.
The fact that the three of us couldn't come up with Clint Eastwood is fucking pathetic.
Yeah, well, one of us doesn't have CTE. Probably two of us don't have CTE.
I would say you and I are probably good, Kev.
Dude, if I was to spend an extended amount of time in Central South America or South America, I'd be like one interesting day away from a heroin addict.
Yeah. You're one interesting day away from being a heroin addict or dead right now.
No, I got to have a few interesting days in the US of A.
I don't know. Kev, here's the last question about that situation. How long can we where do we write into the contract here in the legal paperwork of Washed Up Walk-Ons of how long does Drake have to be gone before we adopt his 33%?
I don't know. I think at first it'd go to whoever he left his stuff to in his will.
Jesus.
Because
that's unfortunate. Yeah. We're going to have to deal with fucking the state.
No, you don't.
I'm pretty sure we can convince Bane to sign over that to us.
Yeah, he gave it to his dog.
Let's be honest. That's probably the beneficiary right now.
Bane, I don't have a will, fellas. I would get on that.
Nah.
Do you have one, Kevin?
Everyone should have a will.
I don't have one.
Yeah, everyone's going to die someday. Have a will. Don't give your shit. Drake, do you want to give your stuff to the government?
No, my mom gets my stuff. I die before.
Well, then get a damn will, you idiot. Costs like $100.
Kevin's trying to die. That's what he's trying to tell us. Let's briefly mention it. This comes out on Monday. Today, though, Wednesday.
I don't know if you just...
What was that?
That was the clip of Cooper DeJean dunking and Riley Moss OBGYN. And that's one of the funniest clips I've ever seen.
Couple great clips. The funniest thing about that clip, which people will have seen by the time this comes out, is that me and you are dying at him saying OBGYN. And Riley's face is just like, bro, he was still locked into how unbelievable Cooper's mixtape was. He's like, dude, he was the truth, bro. Like, he was fucking something. And me and you were like,
I threw something.
Yeah. I had multiple people who listened to the episode say the OBGYN comment is an all-time one-liner. And I said, dude, it's the funniest shit I've ever heard. I mean, what a fantastic podcast. By the way, we're going to have another recent graduate, recent starter from the Iowa defense. We've had Captain Jack. We've had the Dirt Man, Riley Moss. We're going to have another Sunday night, 6:30. By the way, Drake's going to miss out.
Hold it down for me, fellas.
Unfortunate, but Kevin and I and Grant will be able to take the reins there. Real quickly, let's just touch on it. The world is at peace. Everything is right. The axis is perfectly tilted. Things are going as they should. Caitlin Clark is your Naismith Player of the Year. Duh.
She right? is her.
If she is her, and dude. She,
I mean, the stat lines weren't even comparable to Boston.
I know, and it's just even like the
same zip code.
It's not wild to
mention, she just gave him a 40-piece triple double in the
right. We haven't even talked about it. It's Monday. It's a week after this game happened because we like to record ahead now. 40, 10, and 12. Last rebound was questionable, but 40, 10, and 12 in the Elite Eight to send your team to the Final Four. Could you step up any bigger than that, dude? That is...
It was like LeBron and Kyrie both going for 41 in game 6 against the Warriors.
That was a fun-ass game, yeah.
Very similar feeling.
She is... it's not hyperbole when people talk about her transcending the entire sport.
She's bigger than women's basketball right now, dude. It's like when Brittany Griner was playing for Baylor.
When she was arrested in Russia?
When she was playing for Baylor, she was like the only woman basketball player on earth being talked about.
And yeah, and Caitlin's past that level now. Dude, Braun is tweeting about her. Magic Johnson is sending out multiple tweets about her.
She got tweeted at by Magic Johnson.
Multiple tweets.
Whoa. Did the viewership stats off the charts for women's basketball.
2.5 million viewers.
That's so bananas, dude.
Dude, up until I could be misspeaking.
We just talked about a couple weeks ago her selling out Carver by herself.
What was like the average Iowa football game that we played, like what was the viewership, you think? I bet it was under.
There was a stat on that one as well. Only two games eclipsed 2.5 million viewers. It was Michigan and Ohio State. Otherwise, the Iowa-Louisville women's basketball game was more watched than 10 of Iowa's football games last year.
Wow.
Bro.
Damn. She's not big time, dog. She's not big time.
Not a single, I'm pretty sure this is the stat. I could be wrong. Not a single NBA game has hit 2.5 million viewers this year. Now, obviously, in the playoffs.
On ESPN.
Okay, on ESPN. Specifically.
Yeah.
Okay. So she is doing, and it's not just her, but a lot of it's her, right? When the other gals are on, this team's fun to watch, bro. Like,
they can Gabby make buckets, man.
Warnock, Gabby Marshall, Kate Martin, raining threes.
And how about the disrespect? Did you see the line on this game?
11.5.
Boys, give me the points.
Dude, South Carolina is really fucking good. Give me the points.
Give me the points. South Carolina hasn't even beat everybody that they've played in the tournament by 11.5.
I don't know if that's true or not. What I do know is this is
they're playing Caitlin fucking Clark.
Iowa has a chance.
Logo Clark.
I understand.
Goat Clark.
Iowa, not just
her.
Caitlin is her. She's going to be her. The problem is Caitlin's done it before where she's scored over 40 and they've lost in three different games. When the others don't.
Yeah, but not by 11.5.
They won their last game against Maryland by 11. Hawks beat Maryland twice.
I get it.
Hawks
get
by
it.
A million, pussy. Caitlin Clark is her.
It's a different game.
Yeah, it's the game where Caitlin Clark can shoot somebody.
Are we betting the over in this game then? Because I feel that might be the bet. 150. I feel like,
dude, they're scoring 170.
I will say this, South Carolina has like the best defense in the country or something like that. So
they ain't played Caitlin Clark. I'm taking the over. Hawks in the over, baby.
There you go.
Dude, it's Caitlin Chris Kyle Clark, bro. She's good from anywhere.
I thought you were going to say it's Caitlin Christ Clark.
She's might as well too.
She's
what time's this game on? When are we watching this?
It is Friday, two nights from now.
It's a bad night.
8 o'clock Central.
Not a great night for you. And a lot of people wanted to know and were really concerned if Drake tuned into the Iowa Louisville game. Did you see the first bit of it before you went to the airport?
No, because that other game was on. Remember? It went the other game was stupid. Oh,
you're right.
Long.
You're right. The LSU.
Now I did watch the score. I saw at halftime we were up, but it wasn't by a ton.
Yeah.
So I was keeping track of the score, but no, I was not able to watch it.
Yeah, and you actually have a good excuse for missing it. And
I have a good excuse for missing this one, dude. One of my friends is fighting to become the Bellator knockout king.
It's a decent excuse too, but
dude, if he knocks this dude out in the first round, six consecutive first round knockouts, which would be the record for Bellator of all.
It's impressive. It's impressive.
First six fights. But you can't miss that. I'm talking fist fights, not basketball games, boys. You play basketball. You don't play fighting.
There may never be another Final Four team, men or women, from Iowa. And I know you don't have an affliction towards the university, but there may never be another Hawk team that goes to the Final Four in our lifetime. Certainly not in your lifetime after we just set the over-under.
I feel like the Hawks are just going to reload next year, no? Everyone's got eligibility left, right?
Sinano won't be back. Stolke, who is unbelievable, by the way, she will have to step in. It will be a different look and a slightly different style of play.
But do we have Caitlin Clizzy?
We do. We do. We have her the year after that, too, probably.
Dude, is she going to score 8,000 points in her career, or what's going on?
She is 18 away from the – so Kelsey Plum for Washington set the record – for most
I remember
points.
That year, which was unbelievable.
Gustafson is like third on the list. She scored 1,001 her senior year, I believe. Also was the Naismith Player of the Year. By the way, Iowa, along with Luka, in the past 5 years, there's been 10 Naismith winners. 3 out of 10 have been from Iowa. So, go Hawks.
Go Hawks.
Caitlin is 18 away from 1,000 this season. And she is in the top 10 or nearing the top 10 all time and has a year left on those people.
So you're telling me Megan Gustafson scored at a higher clip than Caitlin did this year?
Her senior year, Megan scored at basically the same clip. Yeah. Caitlin's going to Megan scored a lot of fun.
I remember, dude, but I didn't know she was shooting it like that because hers were just layups, dude.
I was going to say she was
up and unders all the damn time.
And she only did that in her senior year, whereas Caitlin has now put together two 900-point years and a 1,000-point year. She's soon will clip 3,000 if she hasn't already. I can't remember if she has. And there's only like 11 girls in the history who have scored more than 3,000 or 20, maybe 20 girls who have scored more than 3,000 points. Caitlin's going to do that almost in 3 years. She'll have 2 years left if she wants them.
2 years in Iowa City make it more than the fucking governor, dude.
Dude, before we, which hopefully someday is Jack Campbell, shirts coming Friday. When you listen to this, those shirts, Campbell Anger 2024, will be available on Friday.
We might have to make some slight alterations. Sorry, Pat, but it might have to be Campbell Clark 2028.
Pat can't even be mad, bro.
I was going to say, bro, to be honest, though, it might be a little harder to get Clark.
Gary probably doesn't even know who Pat is, dude. He wasn't even a sentient being when Pat was.
You don't, do you, Grant? You have no idea who Pat Anger is.
Familiar, not as familiar as Caitlin,
no.
Obviously.
You see what I'm saying? Sorry, Pat.
In Pat's defense, his first thing was, you should probably get somebody who is better than me to go along with. He said, Jewel Greenway or Hodge or somebody like that.
But the thing is, dude, Patrick's one of a kind.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, Caitlin, after that game the next day, Monday morning, she tweeted out a link to her basketball camp this summer. She's hosting a camp in Iowa City and then another camp in Des Moines. It's a 3-day camp.
How fast they sell out?
2 hours.
Yeah.
It's they great. Both sold out in 2 hours? Like,
both. It's $175 per camper. I don't know how many she's allowing in each grade.
But she's doing, per grade.
So it's there's three sessions a day, and each session is a third and fourth grade session, fifth and sixth, seventh and eighth. And it's a 2-day camp. So the next day it's third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth. So you get like 4 hours as a camper. And then she's just copy and pasting that into Des Moines as well. I did the math. If she only let in 50 campers per grade, right? 100 per session, which is super manageable if she gets a couple of her teammates to help out and be camp coaches.
Yeah.
That's 100 G's right there.
She's then going to pay her teammates some, but.
Of course, she's going to pay the staff, and she's going to have some overhead with the t-shirts that she's given out and all that stuff. But if she only does 50 campers per grade at that price, that clears 100 G's. Think if she does 100 per grade, 200 G's. And she could run camps for the rest of her goddamn life.
And Nike's still...
And she's a Nike athlete?
Dude, Nike's going to start paying for ads, camps, dude.
I see the Nike ads come through my my timeline all the time.
Nike, Hy-Vee, and she's got one more massive one. I can't remember who it is.
It's dude. Apple, dude. Her and Steve Jobs.
It's Tesla. So she's her. I'll probably name the podcast Caitlin Clark Is Her.
No, just name it She's Her.
I'll do that. And
they have to listen to the 50 minutes of.
They're going to listen to us reminisce.
2010 bullshit.
That conversation sparked. We have to do a top five video games.
What are we doing a top five tonight? We missed it.
We're not going to have one tonight. People like the animals. Somebody was mad that we didn't include Honey Badger in the animals one.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it's good. It's not a top five.
I don't think it's a top five. We will definitely have to do top five video games, and it might even have to be because, like, there's a lot of – we could go certain ways there.
There's a lot of ways you can go with that. Yeah.
Talk about digging a hole, Kev. Dirt house. Oh. Thanks for listening. Everybody, as you're listening to this, take a quick moment of silence for Drake, as you're not going to hear his voice for about a month. That could be good or bad. Maybe we'll advertise and try and get some listeners for this month for those that don't like Drake. You could be a fan of the walk-ons. You could be part of the walk-on army for a month, and then you have to go away.
Such a funny tweet I got to send with you all after we sign off.
Love that. And I also want to put a PSA out there. I know I'm the health guy. I don't know if this is every Dairy Queen, but the one in Waukee for the month of April has s'mores back as their Blizzard of the Month. Dear God, I smacked one of those before this podcast. That is an all-timer. Thank you guys for listening. Thanks for being a fan. We love you. Drake will be back in a month. Kevin, I, and Gary will be here to hold things down. Let's go win a Final Four, a championship. At this point, by the time you listen to this, there will be, I think, a winner of that because we're a little behind. But shout out. Have fun, Drake, in the wilderness, wherever you go. He's already gone.
No, I'm here. After running some calculations, Times user has deactivated due to polarizing alt-right tweets. Drake Kulik 1, me 0. some people are relevant, some aren't. That's all I got to say.
That's fact. We'll leave it there. Thanks for listening. Till next time. Peace.
Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.